Hey, this is ColorWorks Radio. I'm your host, Justin Baker. This week, I'll be featuring a new series of embedded interviews from Artist Studios. First up is Matt Tiernan. Matt is a painter, an abstract painter, part-time philosopher, and full-time musician. I sat with Matt in his home in Selkirk, New York, and we had a great time. Listen up. This is part one. Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me here. For those listening, this week I'm embedded in Selkirk with Matt Tiernan. And we're going to talk about his work and hear what he's got going on. And in all honesty, I want to say that when I started this podcast, you were, or radio program, however you want to call it, you were the first guest I wanted to have on.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I know I couldn't have done that because I needed to work up to this. So, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
For those people who don't know your work, you're a painter, musician, shaman, maybe even.
Yes.
And we crossed paths a little bit in graduate school, so that's where I got to, to know your work.
Yep.
And I've been following you ever since on whatever platform they allow you on.
Yeah.
So your paintings have this kind of magical quality to them. There's abstract, but they reference so many things that I feel like that I'm interested in. You know, I think a lot of people are. So if you could start out, a couple of things we could talk about. I'd love to hear about a little bit about your process, what inspires you, how you get there. Also, maybe your work as a musician. Also, your father and mother, they were artists too. So we can go anywhere. But let's start off with... like how you get to the things that happen on the canvas or the paper or what do you sometimes UPO.
Right. Yeah, UPO, that's a new favorite, yeah. Well, all right, so I have a condition called synesthesia. And for me, mostly it manifests with sound in various ways, to varying degrees. In grad school... early in grad school, I suddenly decided to address that directly for the first time ever, really. I had made references to that, to these qualities, these visual qualities of sound playing in various permutations of metal bands and jazz rock bands and things like that. And it was generally met with violence. The drummer that I played with who we would get into fights anyway, but I wanted him to do a certain thing that had a quality that was like the sound in Purple Haze, which isn't purple to me, by the way. It's a completely different thing. It's a spatial thing. So I wanted him to create this space, and he took that very poorly. And so that was when I was 18, 19.
You grew up around here, right?
I was born in Wisconsin. I grew up mostly in Wayne County, New York, but we lived in Buffalo and the Finger Lakes. And the Finger Lakes opened my head. It was my first real contact with nature. You know, I mean, Buffalo was, you know, it was suburbs, but it was, this is Moravia, New York, near Ithaca and the Finger Lakes, and there were, you know, waterfalls in my backyard, and yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to live in the woods, and there was just this whole, the features of nature and the wildlife in it really, in particular, trout, these brook trout that were in the streams, really had an impact visually and psychologically. This like dark shale in the water. And then we moved to Wayne County, Pennsylvania, Shehawken, Pennsylvania. And that is where the obsession with sound, with guitar playing and music and sound related to the guitar, mm-hmm. the electric guitar, that's when it really like hit home, and I you know obsessively played. But mostly, initially when it started, it was about just the sound, not necessarily the musical pitch or the arrangements or the you know the style. It was just mostly about the sound, and I really love distortion. I love the distorted guitar sound. It is uh-huh. cosmic. And George Harrison and Bangladesh Wawa, for instance, that just, you know, melted my mm-hmm. little skull. And soon after that, my father would play Bitches Brew, and that was really heavy because the sounds of this bass clarinet, Benny Maupin, I think, and then there were three keepers like Joe Zawinul, Chick Corea, and Herbie Hancock, I think, were playing, you know, all played at the same time. And so there was this crazy thing happening with the electric piano, and then this bass clarinet, like a giant king cobra crawling across the floor, right? And yeah. all of a sudden, you know, I remember it was evening. I think the sun was setting in the window. As a shag carpet rug, and I just remember.
You're listening.
I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking there are more dark corners here than there should be. Uh-huh. And it was my first obvious, you know, experience with synesthesia full on.
Right.
There have been other times since then, but that was the earliest I can recall. Mm-hmm. And so in grad school, I sort of hit a wall as to what I was going to do in terms of not necessarily content, but as a way to get into this space, right? So. Mm-hmm. I remember one day I just decided, well, I'm going to address that. So I started thinking about that and making work generally based upon those experiences. They're not the same. It's not an equivalency.
Right.
But then I started working with sound also at the same time I was making paintings and just making these sound collages and these abstract. Mm-hmm. I love ambient music. I love like sound treatments. I'm fascinated by sound design. Period. For obvious reasons. And so I started doing that myself, and the painting started happening exponentially, and I mean, super fast.
Were those collages informing the paintings?
So here's the difficulty. What it's like is the paintings and the sound pieces, they exist independently of each other, and yet they have a quality where there is a discussion possibly between the two of them, but they dream about each other. They don't. One is not the other. They're not like I can't. I couldn't have, say, a piece in the sound piece and a painting in the same room, because I don't want that association to be made. Like this, people walk into a room like, oh, these two things go together, and they might not. The sound piece might be more related to a painting, you know, in my garage.
That
space, right?
So it's not like, look at the painting, put on headphones.
Right. No, yeah, yeah. No. I mean, feel free to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
You know? But no, that's not really my intention, as far as, you know, if I have any intent. Really, I just want to, you know, I want to get these things out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that goes for playing, you know, music, as it were, like organized uh-huh. music with a you know, with instruments, as well as painting, and so that's how it started. And I also am really sort of unconsciously, I'm realizing unconsciously, trying to remove as much of the obvious making of the thing as I can.
Like how you make it? Like,
yeah, I mean, and you know, I didn't even
like how a paint is applied.
Right, like how does this happen? And so
interesting.
So okay. there's like, and again, like I don't have a single shred of adherence to any sort of idea of process, or, you know, punching in and making the work, and then it's not about the work. It's just about getting the clearest possible depiction of a manifold experience, which coincides with what synesthesia is, listening to, or, you know, music. There are things coexisting in space and in time that create a situation that I feel the need, and I'm sort of compelled to somehow put that forward in a painting or a drawing, you know.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out part two of my Matt Tiernan embedded interview next week. And as always, go check out Collarworks Gallery in Troy, New York, 621 River Street. New show opening up May 31st, Art Stands Still. It's a group exhibition about the freedom of movement.